Are you guys enjoying TechEd so far? Good? Updating your skills, 2 days off work, free stuff. It's not too bad, eh? So yeah, let's get it started. My name is Leandro Carvalho. I will be talking about automating the Hyper-V administration with PowerShell. I'm from Canberra, but I'm originally from Brazil, so that's where this accent comes from. I'm a Hyper-V MVP, and I will be talking about the benefits of Hyper-V with PowerShell and how you can save some time with PowerShell commandlets. So the agenda is pretty much to talk about the new features of Hyper-V first and what's the challenge for IT pros. And then we would be talking about the management methods, the command lines, the server, installation methods, GUI interface versus command line. Then we will walk through the PowerShell versions, what we can get out of all of them actually, and the benefits. Then we will talk about PowerShell with Hyper-V, especially. At the end of the presentation, I have some demos to show you some quick stuff around how to actually do daily tasks with PowerShell. And then I will show you the PowerShell ISE, which is a graphical interface to do some long commands and scripts. And at the end of the session, I have some very nice news about the PowerShell version 5 and Hyper-V in Windows Server vNext, the Windows Server Preview. So, is there any developers here in the room? You can raise your hand. Yeah, one, two. Don't be afraid. There's no harm here, at least. No? Okay, we have a couple. And I guess that the other part would be IT pros, system administrators. So that's my profile. I've been working as a system administrator since 2002, more or less. And I know the challenge we have when the matter is automation. I personally hate command lines. I hate scripts. And I hate coding, programming. I actually hate that. So that's why I think was a good idea to show you my point of view and how I changed my methods to work with command lines in PowerShell. So I'm not sure if you guys, talking a little bit about me, the reason why I became a system administrator is that I couldn't keep up with the code in uni. So I quit uni. And I started doing Microsoft certifications, the MCSE certification back in the time. And, well, I would like to be a developer, but, yeah, I couldn't keep up, and I just quit uni. But that's why I actually hate command lines. Not only because I'm an IT pro, it's because it's a personal thing that I wish I could know that, but unfortunately, I don't know. Just didn't happen. But anyway, I think that's the challenge for us. If you are an IT pro, that's why you hate command lines. You don't want to know this, you know, five lines or scripts or codes and programming language. That's not for us. And I think that's the only challenge when we talk about automation. That's pretty much it. There's nothing else for us. If there's any code, if there's anything bigger than ipconfig/o or ping-a, which is advanced by default for us, anything that's ping-a, anything more than that, that's it for me. So, and it's interesting because people think that we know stuff. For example, I'm a SharePoint specialist, so I know how to build a SharePoint farm. Well, as an IT pro, you can use that as, well, the developer can't do that. So I'm the one doing that installation stuff. And interesting story is my wife, she works as a SharePoint user. So she manages a small SharePoint website at the University of Canberra. She's an end user. So she doesn't know about SharePoint, but she wants to know what's new, what's coming up. And I was talking about a project I'm working on at the moment with SharePoint and Exchange Link. I'm deploying to a company in New Zealand. And I was talking about the project to her, especially SharePoint. I'm deploying the three-tier implementation of SharePoint. And she said, okay, cool. And a couple of days later, she was talking about this announcement, the new option to deploy a SharePoint form with just one click. I'm not sure if you guys have seen that before. Yesterday, there was something about it in the keynote. So if you look at the Azure portal in the marketplace, if you click there, you can create a SharePoint form with the web front-end servers, the application servers, and the back-end servers in high availability, which is only a tick box there, with only one click. So you just put the resource group name, user ID, password, and that's it. So she looked at me, she said, so is that the thing you were actually doing in 6 months? Is that what is doing there? So yeah, pretty much. And she was staring, looking at me, and said, So that's when I noticed, you know, I need to do something. The world is moving, the IT world is moving to a new direction, cloud computing and automation. And as IT pro, we need to follow that up as well. We need to make sure we are on that way. Otherwise, the things we do today, someone will come up with ideas like this and will pretty much leave us with no other options. So the good news is for us IT pros, we have PowerShell, which is pretty much done for us. It's a command line done for IT specialists. So I will walk you through that and I will show you why the PowerShell integration with not only Hyper-V, but everything else actually will save you some time in your day-to-day job. So those are some features of Hyper-V. I'm not sure if you have seen that before, but for a salesperson or for someone that likes virtualization, that's perfect. A lot of new features. Share Nothing Live Migration, Hyper-V Replica. What else? Live Migration within a cluster. Large virtual machines. Hardware offloading, nick teaming, a lot of stuff. For IT Pro, that scared me actually. So when you look at that, said, damn, a lot of new things I need to work on. When we deploy that stuff, I need to work out how to do the DHCP guard protection in like 100 virtual machines. I need to create a dynamic memory configuration for all my servers. When I deploy a new virtual server, for example, or a host or a cluster, I need to do all that configuration. I need to create a Hyper-V replica. And you need to do that quick. Another thing that scares is the new size of Hyper-V. So you can have a virtual machine running with up to a terabyte of memory, 64 virtual processors, a cluster with 4,000 virtual machines, a cluster with 64 nodes. So are you expecting to build that with next finish? Create a cluster and add every single node manually? So we have no other options. We need to start working with PowerShell. I'm not sure if you guys have worked with Exchange before, but since Exchange 2007, we had an option. Actually, it's not an option. You have to work with PowerShell. There's a lot of features on Exchange you have to do via PowerShell. And it's the same with Hyper-V, actually. You have some few features that you can only do via PowerShell. It's not as bad as Exchange, especially the old versions, but it's still some features there, and I will show you that later, that you can only do via PowerShell. Anyone has worked with Exchange before? Know a little bit of PowerShell? So yeah, you guys must know a little bit about it. So that was the first time I started working with PowerShell. I was forced to, actually. To learn PowerShell, and I saw something interesting there. So, well, that's nice. We can use that for something better. And the Hyper-V guys they did that in the new Windows Server 2012. So they added the full capability of Hyper-V management. In 2008, there was an option there actually to manage Hyper-V via PowerShell. There was an option you could actually add some modules, you could download them, import, and then use 80 commands for PowerShell. It wasn't a built-in solution, but it helped. So if you have 2008 Hyper-V servers, you can still use that. The good thing is that in 2012, everything has PowerShell. So not only Hyper-V, but all the lifecycle around Hyper-V. So cluster, the networking stuff, the storage stuff. So everything you have PowerShell. Another feature that is default in Windows Server 2012 is sconfig. I will show you a little bit. I will talk about that later. And the option to enable and disable the shell configuration, the server core installation. A very nice feature is the last one, remote FX through the VM Connect. So when you double click on a virtual machine, you have that window and you have a sort of RDS experience when you click there. So you have, for example, Control C and Control V. Finally, you have some other very cool features like USB redirection, another one that was very nice as well, and the remote FX experience through that window. So very nice. So talking about command line, I'm not sure if you guys had a chance to install the Windows Server 2012, but the default installation is actually a server core installation. So when I installed that for the first time, I saw the command line, said, what's next? I didn't know what to do, actually. I just tried ipconfig, bing, and that's it. So I didn't know what else to do, but that's why you have the sconfig. That was made by, for us, actually, again, IT pros that have no idea how to set up an IP address via command line. It's not that easy, and you don't remember that stuff. It's hard to remember. It's like 1,000 command lines. In PowerShell version 4, you have more than 2,400 command lines. It's very hard to remember all of them. So there's a lot of benefits on that. Is there anyone using server core installation here? We have a few. So yeah, you have a more secure environment, less footprint, you have less updates, so it is better. You have a lot of benefits, and you don't have Internet Explorer, you don't have users browsing on, IT guys browsing on the internet from the server. And the good thing is, between the server core and the full core installation, now you have the minimal server interface, which is pretty much the same experience as a server core, but you have the management tool, the RSAT, and the remote access, the server manager, which, let's be honest, I think 90% of the work we do can be done from those tools. So if you have that on the server, you can do pretty much everything, most of the stuff we do daily. And you don't have Internet Explorer, Windows Explorer, and some other components from the system. So, and then you have the full server installation, full graphical installation. So another good thing is you can, for example, if you're not comfortable with the command line experience on server core, which again, you have the sconfig. So if you want to change the IP address, you just press 2 and then put the IP address. It's a menu with numbers there. So you can change the computer name, change the Windows update settings. It's not that hard for us. But if you still prefer the graphical interface to manage and configure your server, you can have the full graphical interface, do whatever you want, and then turn that off and just leave the server core installation. And I would say that we do that actually only for after installation configuration. So you install the server, then you have to install maybe IIS or Hyper-V or something else. After that, you don't care about the server. You can do all the management stuff from a different server, from remote server. And that's another good thing with PowerShell. Let's say after you install a server, if it's a web server, you need to install IIS. You need to configure some certificates. You need to make sure you have the IIS folder on there. You need to make sure you have only port 80 opened in some other configuration. So all of that can be done now via PowerShell using the desired state configuration. I will talk a little bit about that later, but some very nice stuff as well that will help you a lot with the administration, not only for Hyper-V, but maybe everything else. So what about this stuff, PowerShell? So what is this and what is that for actually? So again, PowerShell is a command line for IT pros, that's it. Was done for us, was done to make sure the integration between IT pros and the command lines is much, much easier and is much, much simpler for us. So you have a lot of ways, and I will show you that, to do almost everything you do today using the command lines. And I will show you that's not that hard. Again, from my experience as a IT pro, from an experience of someone that hates command lines. So for example, the PowerPoint says, it's a command line that contains a rich script language. I would stop there. So I would stop right there. I would change that for maybe that contains a simple way to run commands for automation. That's for IT pro stuff. So .NET framework, that's great. If you're a developer, you have a lot of, you can do graphical interface stuff. You can integrate with a lot of other components. So that's interesting. And one of the things I really like about PowerShell is the reason is that it helps you, it teaches you to use itself. So when you type a command, it gives you hint, it gives you options you can use, it gives you the parameters you might have forgotten. So it's very simple. And there's a lot of ways to actually extend PowerShell. So you have some add-ons, for example, from the internet, you can add to PowerShell. There's a very nice one I like, which is the TechNet gallery for PowerShell scripts. So you open PowerShell, and on a column on the left, on the right, you can see all the existing scripts, maybe some very helpful scripts there. You can just copy and paste, and that's pretty much it. So the first version of PowerShell had only around 100 commandlets. You had extension through the PS snappings and manage code, very high-level stuff. Wasn't very common for IT admins. WMI management as well was something good, because before that was quite tough to manage WMI stuff. And then with PowerShell 2, we had almost double of the commandlets. We had a very nice feature called PowerShell remoting, which is the option to connect to another server via command line, and you could run, for example, ipconfig on another server via PowerShell. Another very interesting feature from PowerShell 2, which is very nice now with a lot of new features, is the integrated scripting environment, the ISE. So it's a graphical interface for you to create long codes and to maybe develop some scripts for you, by yourself. With PowerShell 3 and 4, we had a lot of other new features. Right now, we have around 2,400 commandlets. We have a lot of very cool stuff. For example, the IntelliSense, which is the option when you type a command in PowerShell ISE, you have some hints, you have some helpful information about a command, for example. I will show you that later. You have the desired state configuration, which is one of the best features of PowerShell 4, with a lot of improvements in PowerShell 5. There are two sessions after this one around desired state configuration. David is doing one, and there is another one for developers as well. So I will watch that session as well. Very, very cool. Much, much faster. Around 6 times faster than the previous versions, and a lot of bugs and issues resolved. So I think after PowerShell 3, it started to get very, very nice and easier for us to use the commandlets in PowerShell. So those are some features, not all of them, but some features we have in PowerShell. So yeah, don't worry about all of them, but I will try to show you some idea of what we have and what we can do with PowerShell later. So talking about PowerShell and Hyper-V. In Hyper-V 2008, in PowerShell version 2, as I mentioned, if you look at that website, you have a zip folder there you can download, and then you can run a command line to import those modules, and you would be able to have 80 commands to manage your Hyper-V. So it's not a built-in integration. It's a pretty much a module you import from an external source, and then you manage your Hyper-V servers. With PowerShell version 3 and Windows Server 2012, we finally had the full integration for Hyper-V. So everything you do on the graphical interface, you can do using PowerShell. And if you have Hyper-V, you know, the graphical interface for Hyper-V is not the best one you could get. If you have System Center Virtual Machine Manager, it's perfect. You have a lot of options. But that's why I think PowerShell is even more important when you manage Hyper-V, to give you more options than you can do using the graphical interface. And if you have the new version of Hyper-V with PowerShell 3, you have the full capability to manage everything. And again, some other features, actually three of them, can only be managed by PowerShell. You don't have a graphical interface to manage resource metering, port ACLs, and the VM resource pools. I will show you the two first ones, how easy it is to do that via PowerShell. But again, it is like Exchange, but it's not that bad. It's not, you don't have a lot of dependencies. You don't have to be a PowerShell expert to actually work with Hyper-V, but will help you a lot to save time with automation. All right. Let me show you some examples and how easy PowerShell can be. Cool. So PowerShell is so cool that I have a script to do my demo, so I don't have to do anything. I just need to press enter, and that's it. So the script has an option you can actually fake the typing, so you could see all the typing going on. I didn't put that in, but it's pretty cool. I don't have to do anything, just explain the whole thing. So I think one of the challenges we have, again, is to find exactly command we want to use. For example, I want a command to create a new VHD. I have no idea what's the command I can use. Actually, as I mentioned, more than 180 commands for Hyper-V, so no idea. That's the most, well, I have two very important commands. That's the only thing, if you need to get away of this session with only one thing in your mind, that would be those two commands. The first one is show command. In that example, I'm trying to find a command with the name VHD on it. But you know, I'm doing that on that particular module, on the Hyper-V module. So you get some details there. And as IT Pro, when I see those commands, it's very easy to understand what's going on. It's not like Linux when you have like a command -L -V -D. I have no idea what -D does. So with the commands on PowerShell, for example, it's very intuitive. It's very easy for us to understand. It's like new VHD, get VHD, resize VHD. So it's not that complicated. And again, PowerShell helps you to learn itself. So let's say that's too much for me. I just want to find commands with VHD. So that's the same thing. The only difference is you're not doing a search on that particular module on Hyper-V, which is even better. Maybe you have some command that is not in that module. You want to see everything. So did you see, I didn't put dash name there. So PowerShell go easy on you. So yeah, I'll say, you know, he doesn't know everything, so I will go easy on him. So that's fine. You don't have to put the dash name there. So it's pretty much the same. Another example here, I want to find all the commands that has a network adapter. I need to create and add a network adapter to a new virtual machine. Just get command and the command you are trying to look for. So just use some keywords You don't even need to use Bing to find the commands. So that's pretty helpful. And that's all of them. Now, that's the second command I was talking about, get help. Not that particular one, an example of that. But with the get help one, you have all the examples, all the details on that command. So you can see all the options you can use on that command, all the possibilities you have on that command. But again, for me, as an IT pro, I just want to do it. I don't want to keep reading that stuff and build my command. I just want examples. I want to copy and paste and that's it. So that's for me is the most helpful command in PowerShell. So the first one is get command, and the second one is get help, or just help, the command you are looking for, and dash examples. So that's it. So you have all the examples you need there. Very helpful stuff. Just Control C and Control V. You can do that in PowerShell version 5. You can copy and paste from the command line interface. So that's very handy as well. And another very good stuff on PowerShell 4 is that you can update the help stuff. You can update a whole help commandlet. So if you have, for example, new examples on TechNet, you can get that by updating your help, which is a command called update-help. So if you have something new on the help library, it downloads for you all the information you've got there. Cool. I've got the command I was looking for. I want just to create a VM, and that's what I came up with. I've got that from the example. I just put the virtual machine name, the memory, and the virtual machine path. So it's a very simple virtual machine. And let me get the Hyper-V console for you. And that's it. Virtual machine is created. So you saw that I used the option new VM dash name, virtual machine name, memory, path. If you don't use that information, you will get a pretty much the same virtual machine with the default settings. But again, you don't have to use, for example, dash name. Some of those parameters you don't have to put in there. Not all of them, but some of them, for example, dash name is a very common one. So if you just use new VM dash name virtual machine, it works. If you use only new VM virtual machine name, that works as well. If you use only new VM, that works. So bloody hell, that's pretty easy to use and to adopt. So you have a lot of options actually. Do what you want, and it's not that hard. And if you think that you need something even helpful, you can use the show command option, which is pretty much a graphical interface, so you can search a command and see all the options you have on that command. So you can build up your command from here. For example, I want a VM with an existing VHD, so you can put a VHD path there. All the other information, or if you want to create a new VHD, virtual machine generation, which is something new on Windows Server 2002 R2. And after that, you can just click run. So you just copy the command from there to the command line interface. So again, that's why PowerShell was made for IT pros. And if you think that's too easy for us, you have some other very advanced stuff. But again, in just one line, I'm creating a loop to create 10 virtual machines for me with the name TechEd AU Demo 1 to 10, which is the loop numbers there. So if I run that in one line, you have 10 virtual machines created in just one go. And you can keep adding stuff there. So you can keep adding, for example, memory configuration, the disk details. You can add whatever you want there. And you can use those variables to add some details there. For example, I want to create a virtual machine on that folder, and the folder has to be with the same name as a virtual machine. I've got some examples on that later as well. So If you want to get reports, Porsche is pretty cool as well. It's not that hard. So with GetVM, you can see all the virtual machines you've got. But let's say I want to see the virtual machines listed as with by state. I want to see all the virtual machines that are turned off and all the virtual machines that are running. In previous PowerShell versions, you had to use that in PowerShell version 3. So GetVM pipeline, which is pretty much end, GetVM end, where object state is equal off. So when you look at that, again, for an IT pro, $_.state, I'm out of it. So I don't just copy and paste, or I don't even care. But with PowerShell version 4, you don't have to worry about those details. Underline dot dollar or off brackets, that stuff. You just put the information there. Very simple. So get VM where state equal off. That's it. You can get everything from that information there. So for example, where CPU usage is equal, or if it's higher or anything else, and it works. So again, you don't have to know all those commands and the coding stuff, the coding high-level stuff for coding. Yeah, again, I hate that stuff, so that's why that's perfect for me. And if you want something even better, every command you have some information, some output, you can use that option out grid view. So it's pretty much a graphical interface for what you want. And then you can use that graphical interface to, for example, list by memory, list by uptime, or to add a new criteria there and a new column, or to filter the VMs starting with TechEd, AU, demo 1. And you can export that to whatever you want. So very easy. And that dash pipeline out grid view works for everything. So every command you have an output, you can use that. Cool, another example here. I want to create a new VHD. So look again, the 60 gig, now you can use those names. You don't have to, you know, get the calculator, calculate 124 by 60, you know, it's times actually. But anyway, you don't have to do that calculation stuff anymore. And you can use simple names to help you to create those advanced stuff for developers. So you don't have to convert anything. You just use single names, GB, TB, MB, and that's it. So the VHD is created there. Now, there's a new format on Windows Server 2012, which is the VHDX. You have up to 64 terabyte of data. VHD is only 2 terabyte. You have a lot of secure stuff, a lot of benefits, performance as well. If you have your Hyper-V VMs and you want to migrate that to a new VHD format to use the new features, you can convert them using the command line. So you can use, for example, a command line to get all your VMs, get the VHD, and then convert to VHDX. Some commands you don't have an output, so that's why I added the dash path through at the end there. So you can see all the details for that conversion, and you can start thinking about the migration of your existing virtual machines and converting the VHD to VHDX. So again, one of the new features is you have the option now to create VHDs with up to 64 terabytes. So pretty much the same command, but you just put there the size, the type, and the VHDX format. So you have the same experience, the same command, but to create a VHDX. Now, I want to get that new disk and put that in an existing virtual machine. So add VM hard disk drive on the virtual machine called TechEd AU Demo 1 from that path, and I want to see the results pass through. That's it. Now, Again, I mentioned that we have a lot of PowerShell commands only for Hyper-V. And that's why I think the show command is so helpful. You don't know, you don't remember that stuff. You don't have any idea. The only command I really remember is new VM. That's the only one I remember out of my head. So it's not that hard. You see, set VM, set VHD, set VM, SAN, VM failover. So it's not that hard. But if you know how to find them, it becomes very, very easier. And if you use the same command as before to list all the commands, pipeline, measure, objects, you can just count the number of commands you have. So right there, you have 178 commands only for Hyper-V. On PowerShell version 5 and the new Hyper-V version, you have 184 commands only for Hyper-V. Cool, now I want to migrate those VMs to a new host or maybe just an upgrade from 2012. And I want to get all the VMs ready. So I just want to export them as an offline migration. So I turn off, export everything, and then import it back. So that command, I just export all the VMs to the path D, exported VMs, and they are ready to go. So just go to the new server, select all the folders, and import VM. And you can do that via PowerShell as well. To go to the from this server, so you connect to the other server, you run the command, and import the VM back. So if you start thinking about it, the VHD conversion, the VM migration stuff, everything can be done via PowerShell. Now, some other stuff on Hyper-V, daily tasks like creating an internal vSwitch, just new vSwitch, the switch name, and the switch type. That's it. Now, I want to add a new network adapter to all my virtual machines. So a new one called TestNIC with the add VM network adapter. That's it. Now, I want to connect that network adapter to my new vSwitch. So connect VM network adapter. And again, you don't have to be an expert. Just reading there, you know what's going on. You know what's being done there. Again, my example before, when you see that same command in Linux, for example, you have dash L, dash D, dash a lot of stuff. You have no idea what's going on there. So when I click there, just double check that. So you see a new network adapter there, TestNIC, connected to the internal vSwitch. That's it. And as you can see, all my demonstration is only a single line. It's nothing more than that. So again, it's not that tough. I think there are two commands that's not gonna work here. That's the command to move a VM to a new server. So if you have a cluster, for example, and you want to do a live migration, just move VM, your VM name, and the destination server. Simple as that. It's not going to work because I don't have a second server, just to show you the command. And this is another command to do the share nothing live migration. So you don't have a cluster, you just have a two Hyper-V Windows Server 2012. You have a VM on server one, and you want to migrate the virtual machine, the storage, and the memory on the fly with no cluster. So that single command can do all that stuff. And that was very funny when we were with the Hyper-V guys. They were demonstrating that for us. And we said, oh, that's cool. And they went, cool? That's a miracle. It's like, it's awesome. It's migrating the whole VM. So yeah, when you have a developer asking you to see something he's creating, don't say like, yeah, cool. You have to, oh, bloody hell, that's awesome. You really hurt his feelings. So yeah, developers, they have this filling stuff. So it's pretty cool. You move the whole VM with just a command line. Again, it's not going to work. But have a look at the end of my command there. You have an option, what if. So what if you have to migrate all the VMs? So it's not something simple. You have a lot of risk. You need to make sure that's going to work. So you have an option called what if. You can test the command before you run it. So again, I have a very important server. I'm running out of disk space. I need to move that disk to a new storage. And that storage is on the fly, by the way, but I just need to make sure that's going to work. So with the what if option, you can run the command. You can make sure everything's going to work. So in my example, there's a typo in the virtual machine name. So you can see the error. Hyper-V was unable to find a virtual machine with the name mtechhead. So it's not m. So if you fix the error, you run what if again, and you have the output there saying, yep, the command's going to work. It's not as advanced to check if, for example, if you have disk space or if you have network connection. It's not that good yet. It's only testing the Hyper-V, the command line capability. So, well, that's good. Let's do it. So then you actually run the command and you move the storage. So that's the storage migration feature. Again, if the virtual machine is running, you can do that on the fly with the virtual machine on. Now look at that very cool example as well. Let me open the folder before I run that. I'm getting all the virtual machines starting with Deckhead AU, and I'm moving them, I'm moving the storage actually, to a path called Hyper-V/ the folder with the virtual machine name. So I'm getting the virtual machine name, and I'm creating a folder, and I'm moving all the disks to that specific folder. So if you look at the folder there, you get a new folder created, all the disks created there, and the storage migration on the fly as well. So if you have some examples like that, and that's how I started using PowerShell with Exchange, I was just copying and paste all those commands I used to use every day. And I was creating a text file on my desktop, you know, helpful commands. And I was just doing a list of commands I normally use or I created like that. And that's how I pretty much created this demonstration for you guys. Another very nice option there. So you have a VM QoS for quality of services on the network side. So you have the virtual machine and you can say that VM is going to have 100 meg at the minimum network bandwidth, and the maximum is, no, that's the maximum, the minimum is 20 meg. So you can do that via PowerShell. You have the graphical interface as well. Cool. So you can see two virtual machines there because I didn't specify the network adapter name. So I did that for both virtual network adapters on each VM. Now, that's a demonstration of something you can only do via PowerShell, port ACLs or port ECLs. So that's a new feature where you can add some firewall rules on the virtual network, on the virtual machine. So you don't have a third-party solution to add some network firewall stuff there. So as you can see, add VM network adapter ACL, virtual machine name, remote IP address from inbound, and the action is to deny. So you can use any direction. You can use an IP address. Another example here, remote IP address any for inbound, and I want to allow that. So by default, is everything's open, but you can, if you have a DMZ, for example, you can add more an extra layer of security with the virtual machine firewall there. Now, if you want to check what sort of ACLs you've got at the moment for a particular VM, get VM network adapter ACL and the VM name. That's it. So you can see both of them there. We just created. Now, set VM memory. The dynamic memory, I want to enable that first, and then I want to add the maximum bytes 2 gig and the minimum 124 megabytes. So that's my laptop, and I don't have a lot of memory here. So let's do this. Cool. Done. Now, oops. I want to get all the VMs start with Deckhead AU, and I want to store them. So again, get VM, pipeline, start VM. Simple as that. I'm turning on all of them now. almost there. That's it. Now there's another feature you have only via PowerShell, which is the VM resource metering. So if you have a sort of private cloud environment, you want to create a billing system to give you details, for example, how many gig that virtual machine is using, how many internet you're using from that particular web server. You can get those details of how much the virtual machine is using, and you can use your you can use that to build sort of billing information system. So you enable that first on the virtual machine. That's only via PowerShell. And after that, you have a command to measure your VM. So when you use the measure VMs, you have a column for each one of them saying how much you have been using for memory, for disk. Only the last one has disk information because that's the only VM with a disk. Network, you can change that. In network, you can say internet, for example, internal network, and you can use those details to get, again, a billing system. You can show to your to the specific department using that VM, and you can use that to get some payment out of your private cloud solution. So that's pretty much a very simple example of what we can do. As you can see, all these examples were a single command line, only one line, nothing more than that. And you can do a lot of very cool stuff. Cool. Now, interesting is you are not going to use PowerShell, actually. The thing you're going to use is PowerShell ISE. That's a very easier way for you to build your scripts, long scripts, but even if you are using a very single command line, it's much, much easier. You have a feature called IntelliSense that help you to build the command. I will show you that in a couple of minutes. You have features that you don't have in the command line interface, for example, copy, paste, the rich text copy. You can get the text details, the format, the font format. You have the autosave, so if you're running, if you're working on script, every 2 minutes you get that script saved. If the computer crashes, when you turn on the computer again, you have the same script there when you open PowerShell. You can have a lot of tabs, so you can work on a different scripts at the same time. You can have add-ons, so there's a lot of add-ons on TechNet. You can have the big debugging capability. You can just select what you want to debug. Press the debug option F9, and you can only debug that. So very helpful to find where the error is for your scripts. Easy remote sessions. So let me show you some examples. Cool, so this is PowerShell ISE. So in this demonstration, I'm showing you the desired state configuration example. Again, there is a session, a whole session about it. David is going to present that in a couple of minutes. So you're here, so I would stay to check that out. And what I'm doing there is pretty much saying I have a new function called my web config. And when I install a new web server, for example, from an image, you put that in the server and you call that function. So what I will do here is on the local host, you can have a lot of different hosts in a single configuration if you want. On the local host, I want to use the built-in resource called Windows Feature, and I want to ensure to make sure that the web server is present. If it's not, it's going to install that for you. You can, for example, use the absent to make sure that's not in there. Besides that, I need to make sure that the IIS web folder with the website details is in there as well. So first, you have a dependency. You need to make sure that the previous role has been installed, IIS installed. And if that's true, then I want to make sure that these paths exist. And you can add more details there. If it doesn't exist, for example, you can copy from a shared folder. So that's pretty much the DSC. Have a lot of stuff around that later. Again, it's very cool. And you can just call that, you can just call that function called mywebconfig. That's it. When you do that, it creates a folder for you with more files. So that's the instructions you have out of that script to actually do what you were asking for. You can copy that, for example, to a shared folder, and every time you deploy a new web server, you can call that DSC script by using this script here. So instead of using the local folder, you can use a folder on the network, and by just hitting enter there, you will make sure IIS installed. If it's not, it will install for you, and you will make sure that the folder is there. You have a lot of built-in stuff, so you can do whatever you want. So all the manual configuration you do right now, you can use DSC with PowerShell to do that for you. So again, it's too much things to talk in just a couple of minutes. So that's why I would recommend you guys to watch the next session. Oh, sorry, there's one more example there. This is the easy remote connection option I was talking about. So just clicking there, computer name, username, bam, that's it. You can connect to another computer, run a script there, run a command line there. And here, you can. I'm not sure if you noticed, but you can use Control-C and Control-V here. So you can copy and paste stuff here. So it's, oh, sorry, guys. My bad. I'll show that again. So the remote stuff. You can just connect their computer, username, and run the commands or the scripts you've got there in a different server. And you can use Control-C and Control-V right there. So very easy to use. And even if you have very small commands, that's going to be very, very easy for you guys to work with. Let me show you what IntelliSense is. So when you type, for example, new-vm, that's IntelliSense. So you see, just type new VM, you have the help besides that. So you have all the examples you can use, all the information you have on that particular command. And if you keep typing that dash name, for example, you don't have to remember all that stuff. IntelliSense helps you to build a command line. So that's very handy. Again, even if it's a very small command, you can just use that to build a command in just a couple of seconds. PowerShell can speak. So in this example, I just create a function to say something. So let's say you have a function to run when a user open Internet Explorer. And if they use a particular website, you can say something. So in my example here, I will say,
did you know that you can't use Facebook at work?
Can you guys hear
we
that?
We are watching you.
Did you see that it's low stuff? You can use a lot of different stuff. So I just put it there. If it's low, the rate's -9. So you can use scary stuff there. You can put very slow and get a very scary stuff there. So a lot of possibilities. So end users, watch out. But yeah, again, very simple to understand what's going on there. Different colors to help you to understand what is what. Every color has a particular meaning. So you can change the details there. You can change the colors, for example, so you know what which color it does. So very, very handy. So again, my recommendation, just use ISE for everything. Don't use the normal graphical interface anymore. Right, just to finish the presentation, we have some new features on PowerShell 5. A couple of weeks ago, we've got the new Windows Server preview. And some of the new features, the desired state configuration, which was available on PowerShell 4, has a lot of new capabilities and new features on PowerShell 5. New parameters, new options, new modules only for PowerShell DSC. There are some very nice modules there. For example, the OneGet. OneGet is a module to create packages. So you can install packages from the internet. You can create a application package. You can create a for example, an image with more details now. So all that packaging stuff now can be done also via PowerShell. You can manage your layer 2 network switches now via PowerShell using the class, the modules network switch. You can use classes, so if you're a developer, you can use classes now to create some very advanced PowerShell scripts and some other very cool stuff. The detailed script tracing feature, you can have, for example, a feature on a script to make sure you have if you have an error, for example, you want to generate a event viewer, so it's easier for you to debug when something goes wrong. Cryptographic, master syntax. And that's some new features for Hyper-V as well. So I think one of the best and most interesting features is the first one. So if you have a cluster of Hyper-V Windows Server 2012, and you want to migrate that cluster to the new version, you can add the cluster to the existing cluster. So you have a sort of cluster coexistence between different versions. And then you can move the virtual machine from one node to another. So what means is you will have your whole environment migrated on the fly with no downtime from the previous Windows version to the new one. So we have been waiting for that for a very long time, upgrades with no downtime, and we finally got that. Some other very nice stuff, hot add and remove of network adapters and memory. Storage QoS, a little bit better now from the server, scale out file server, and you can add that to the virtual machine hard disk. Virtual machine configuration version, you can move a virtual machine back to the previous Windows Server version. You have some issues with the existing versions now if you try to do that. The old snapshot, which now called checkpoint, has a new method to take the snapshot. The normal snapshot is based on save state. So it's not application aware. You just freeze the virtual machine and take the snapshot. It can be dangerous for some applications if you had a lot of I/O, and now you have a new sort of snapshot called the production checkpoints, which use the VSS now to take the snapshot for you. Some Hyper-V manager improvements. You don't have any GUI improvements. It's still pretty much the same for now. But at least we have the alternate coordination support, down-level management, and integration services now delivered through Windows Update and Linux Secure Boot. Sorry. So there is a in previous version on Windows Preview, they didn't release all the new features. So I'm not saying anything. I'm not confirming anything. So hopefully, that's not the end of the list. So hopefully, we can see some very nice stuff on the new Windows version. That's pretty much it, guys. So I put two very nice links there for the Windows Server 2012 and the Hyper-V Server download. It's a 9-day trial. That second link, you have all the commandlets for Hyper-V. So all of them with all the examples, the helpful information. So if you have Hyper-V and you want to keep a list of all examples you have on PowerShell, I would put that in my favorite list. In an Internet Explorer, and I wrote a book a couple of 2 years ago called Windows Server 2012 Hyper-V Cookbook. I've got one here to give away for a very nice question. So it's pretty much a cookbook where you can open up. For example, I want to create a cluster or a Hyper-V replica. You just have the step-by-step there. Just copy and paste everything, and for every what they call recipe, you have the PowerShell command line. So all the graphical interface stuff, you have all the PowerShell stuff as well. So that's pretty much it. I would ask you guys to do the evaluation at the end of the presentation, please. That's going to help a lot. And yeah, I think that's it. Let's go for questions now. So I have a mic here. Yeah. I will help you guys with the microphone as well. So, any questions, guys? Anything?
Yep. Hello?
No?
Hello?
Not too easy. one there. Oh, sorry. I need to put the...
Yeah. Can you hear me?
One second. Sorry.
Yeah, look, I just had a quick question for you.
Yep. Go on.
I noticed when you were running the PowerShell command, the get VM command, you were creating quite a few VMs quite quickly. I just wanted to ask you, were you saving that to the same virtual hard disk, or was it creating a different hard disk at the same time? And if it was saving to the same one, after you delete the virtual machine, does that actually free up the space on the virtual hard disk as well? Or?
Yes. So my demo was just showing a new VM without a hard disk, actually. So just a VM. But yeah, if you create a VM with the virtual hard disk, when you delete it, you have the option to leave the hard disk, or you have the option to actually delete the hard disk as well. So yeah, if you delete it with the hard disk, just free up the disk space. Any other questions? Yeah, there's one here as well. I think my microphone's not working.
Hello, hello.
Yeah, it is.
Is there any help with PowerShell to import like P2V type stuff?
Not actually. P2V, you have only the standalone tool, which is a P2V one, or the previous version of VMM server. So yeah, there's nothing I remember from PowerShell about P2V. Yeah, that's the standalone one, right? Yeah, so you have the sysinternal disk to VHD one, but yeah, it's not PowerShell aware of, it's not integrated with PowerShell. There's one there.
Clustered Hyper-V with CSV in the backend versus a standalone service with local hard disks. In which scenario do you choose either?
So cluster with CSV in the backend instead of local disks.
Instead of a standalone Hyper-V hosts with local disks.
Yeah, it depends on the IO requirements. CSV now with the new file server on Windows, you can have a lot of capabilities. And but CSV would be always the best option to go with. Yeah, especially the new versions now of CSV on 2012 R2. Yeah.
Except for features that you get with the migration and stuff, what else would be cool features that you're mentioning? Like if you have option of deploying either or?
Well, CSV is something from Hyper-V, from Windows itself. So you have the built-in capabilities of Hyper-V to be aware of the cluster heartbeat. And you have some other features for CSV that I don't remember on top of my head right now, but I can get some details for you after the session.
Thank you.
I will be there, so just let me know. I'll dig in for you. Sorry. Anything else? No? Cool. I'll give away the book for the guy that asked the question I didn't know how to answer. Well, thank you again, guys. See you later. So, thanks.